We're celebrating Thanksgiving today, and we're so excited about that, aren't you? We get to eat afterwards, but this day is meant to be a day where we focus on how good God is in our lives and all the good things that he's done for us, everything that we can be thankful for, and there is an endless list of things we can be thankful for. And today we're going to talk about how focusing on that list instead of maybe some other lists that we carry in our lives can really change our outlook, change our mindset, and change everything really about us when we choose to focus on the good things in our lives, what God has done for us over maybe what the world has done to us. Amen? It's a really important shift that we make. And so this morning we're going to be reading just really short out of Philippians 4. We're just going to be reading verse 8 together. It's going to be up on the board if you want to turn there. If you have your Bibles with you.
The board, the classroom, the screen, whatever.
The thing behind me. The large apparatus with words on it. There we go. Okay. That'll cover everything. All right, so let's read together. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Pretty simple, right? Pretty simple directive. Right before this passage, it talks about don't be anxious in anything, right? But in everything, give thanks to God. It's this shift that we're trying to make, right? And it talks about that the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's what happens when we move into and away from anxiety and into a choice to think about what's good in our lives. The peace of God is able to enter into our lives and protect us from really the world's influence in our lives and in our thoughts, right? So today we just have a quick proposition here. It's that gratitude starts with a thankful mindset. Mm-hmm. Gratitude starts with a thankful mindset. And so we can see this right from this passage. I'm going to read this again real quick out of the Passion Translation. It says, "So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real." And I love that it starts with that, on all that is true. Almost every translation has that word true right there. And instead of focusing on what's false in our lives, which we so easily get caught up in, and that's what takes our focus, is what's false, what could be, the what ifs that take our focus off of what's true. God is rooted in the truth. That's who he is. That's how we know what truth is. God is the measure of that. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so when it talks about focus on what's true, it's pointing to a person. It's pointing to a figure. Jesus Christ is the truth. And when we focus on him as a foundation in our lives, instead of what everything that is false, what could be in our lives, we get so distracted by those things, right? Man, I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen in that conversation I'm going to have with that person. I don't know what's going to happen when I get to work on Monday. I don't know what they're going to say to me after what happened last week, right? I don't know if I'm going to lose hours, you know, over the Christmas season or not. I don't know. We go down this line of all the bad things, all the what ifs, all the false things. I've talked about before that I have a tendency of preemptive bitterness. I'm mad at God for things that he hasn't done to me, that I just assume that he might do to me in the future. And I'm already mad about it. Like, God, in 2 years, you might make me go through this. And man, if you do that, I'm going to be mad. It's like, what? That is the most ridiculous conversation in my head. I'm like, it's a hypothetical of a hypothetical of a hypothetical, for crying out loud. And I'm getting mad about it. And it's changing my mindset. It's keeping my focus on the truth. And that no matter what the future holds, I know who's already there dealing with it, right? It's Jesus. Jesus, the truth. And so I love that this passage points us to immediately to focus on the truth, whatever is true. And then in the Passion Translation, whatever is honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, whatever is pure and holy, whatever is merciful and kind. I love those words. Whatever is merciful and kind. If we can change our thought processes to looking at the world the way we know Jesus looks at the world, we can treat others the way we know Jesus would want us to, when we can give our lives over to a gratitude mindset and say, no longer am I going to focus on the negative. No longer am I going to focus on a complaining mindset in my life. Instead, I'm going to focus on the good, not just in me, but in my situations, in the people that I encounter, in my kids, in my relatives that are coming for Thanksgiving, right? Right? We got relatives coming for Thanksgiving. And I hate that this time of year is like, there's the stigma that, oh, it's going to be a rough one. Like, we're going to be politics talked about, and we're going to be fighting like crazy, and then we're not going to want to see each other for another year until Thanksgiving again. Like, it's this horrible obligation to have family for the holidays, right? I hate that that's the stigma, mm-hmm. right? That shouldn't be what it is. That's because when we go into those situations, we're focusing on the negative already, and guess what's going to come about? When we focus on the negative, we create negative experiences. Mm-hmm. But if we go into those situations focusing on the positive, hey, you know what? Who knows how many years I got left sitting across the table from this person, right? Man, I'm so thankful for the good things in my life because of this person. Sometimes that's hard. I get it. Sometimes that's hard to focus on those things. But that's what we're called to do as Christians. We are called to be the truth. We're called to look to the truth and be the truth to others. Mm-hmm. So that they can start looking to the truth as well. Amen? So we're little missionaries in every single one of those conversations. And if we're focused on the negative, we're not going to do very good at being missionaries for Jesus, right? We have to focus on what's true. I'm going to read that one more time. Whatever's authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. I love this. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, mm-hmm. praising him always. Fasten your thoughts on every good and perfect gift in our lives, every glorious work of God. That's what carries us. That's what keeps our perspective ever moving forward on the path that he has laid out for us. Right? So it's so important that today we focus on that. And I just want to share real quick, I have a tendency to focus on the negative. As an introvert in my life, right, like in the past, I have gotten caught up in my own mindset so easily. And I'll say that a huge thing for me is anxiety. I've shared this in the past here a lot, I know. And anxiety has been a thing that I've struggled with, right? And I know every time that anxiety comes up, God is trying to get my attention about something, right? And sometimes I don't want him to get my attention about something, right? Sometimes I'm like, really? Now? This is when you bring this up? Like, come on. Like, I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to do some good things, and you're bringing something up in my life to make everything harder, right? But he wants me to stop trying on my own and to focus on him. Mm-hmm. That's why that anxiety comes up in my life. So I'll stop, take a second, and then enter into his work in my life so that I can experience peace over anxiety. And the best way for me to refocus my thoughts is to focus on what's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, right? Shift my mind off of the negative in my life that it could be, right? My perceptions of all this, whatever I make up, like I said, like my preemptive bitterness, which is ridiculous, right? I go down these rabbit holes and I get so dark sometimes, mm-hmm. but the only way out is for me to shift my thought process and to look to Jesus, and then I can get pulled out of it. That's the only way, though. That's the only way. Otherwise, I'll just wallow forever. But that's why I'm so thankful that we have a way out. We have a way out of the negative. Jesus has given us that in himself. It's not something we have to try harder to. It's something we just need mm-hmm. to focus on Jesus to do, Amen. Right? He's already made it possible for us. All we got to do is look to Jesus, and we are where we need to be.
Yeah, so it goes through this list of what our thought life should look like. That's what Cody's describing. This is what the Christian thought life should be. But, you know, I was thinking about this, and then it ends the verse by saying, think about such things. Mm-hmm. Like this very clear directive. This is what you should be thinking about. And then I was processing that and thinking, you know, sometimes it doesn't really feel like a choice what I'm thinking about. Just as I don't know if you have resonated with that. True, sometimes you just have these thoughts. My thought life just feels maybe that I'm not having control over it. And so I was thinking about the three different ways, the three different areas that involve our thought life. It's our heart, our mind, and our mouth. right? They're all three connected somehow. And so we need to learn how to apply the Christian thought life. And I want to tell you that Christ came to transform your thought life.
Amen.
He came to transform it, to change it completely. But here's how he does it. He does it first by changing your heart. He does it, very first thing he does, is he changes your heart. The Bible says this, this super sad thing about our hearts. Matthew 15, it says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts." So it goes from your heart to your head to your mouth, right? And so out of the heart come evil thoughts. But it also says in Scripture that you are a new creation in Christ. That no longer do evil thoughts come out of your heart. Now you're a new creation. You get a new heart. In Ezekiel, it talks about your heart of stone becoming flesh. It's kind of a symbol of what happens when you come to know Jesus. You get a brand new heart, which means that what should follow is what? Your mind should follow that. And so first he changes your heart, and then he empowers you to have that thought life that this verse is talking about. It says in Romans 12, 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? So, and this is a forward thing, be transformed by the renewing. So he puts a new heart in you, and then the Holy Spirit is working to renew your mind as you walk in grace with him. And then it gives these incredible directives in Scripture, like take captive every thought. That sure sounds like I have some control over my thought life. Scripture's telling me, take captive your thoughts. If something comes in there, oh, it's not supposed to be there, you take it captive. And you say, no, you don't belong here. You have the authority in Jesus, not because of just your willpower, but because he's put a new heart in you and put his presence of the Holy Spirit in you to do that, to take captive your thoughts. In Colossians, it says, set your mind on things above. Things above. And I love what Cody was using to describe, the language he's using to describe what it looks like to set your mind on things above, simply looking to Jesus as the truth to do that. And once you are empowered to change your mind and you begin to take captive those thoughts, then he instructs you to use your mouth for God's glory, right? It says in 1 Peter 3:10, whoever would love life and see, what's happening here? It got jumbled. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. So it says, whoever would love their life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. And so what Cody's saying is, when he said that earlier, is that what we're speaking, we actually bring about in our lives.
Yeah.
The scripture is saying, if you love your life and you want to see good days, be careful what comes out of your mouth, which goes backwards, right? Which means take captive your thoughts, which means let Jesus into your heart. And so today we're going to kind of practice this together. We're going to have a sharing time. We're going to use our lips, our mouths, for God's glory, okay, as a body. And I'm so excited for this time. It's very simple. The question is, coming up, is what are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? We have a microphone up here, and this should not be that hard, okay? This should not be an awkward thing. What are you grateful for? I'm going to start. I've got some things that I'm grateful for. I've got all the normal things, my kids, my, you know, all that. But I'll tell you what, some very special, yada, yada, yada. I've got some things that just this morning I'm feeling swelled with gratitude for. And one of them is last night we had this worship night. And in there, you know, it's an hour long. And so people are kind of standing. Some people, you know, get tired and they kind of sit or whatever. But I'll tell you what was so neat to see is that the majority of the people that were standing the whole time were our Village Church people. I was like, our people know how to worship. Like, I was so just blessed by that. And then I'm just so grateful that God, you know, gave us a vision. I don't know if you know this, but before we moved here to see this church started, my husband and I, we drove the state of Arizona because it was like this weird, you know, spiritual journey. Just drive the state and see where God might want us to start a church. And someone had told us, you know, Gladden Farms is really where you should. That's like, you know, the up and coming place and whatnot. And we drove through it and we, you know, it was really nice or whatever. And if you've been there, it's super great off the Marana exit. And then we drove up here to Red Rock and very clearly God said, this is where it's going to be. But right away I knew that God would want to put a church there. right away. It was like, okay, but our first church plant is going to be there. And so neat last night to sit in the foundational moments. I'm so grateful that I got to be there for it, right? The very first step toward the vision that God gave us. Amazing, guys, as a church. I wish that everyone could know just the gratitude I'm feeling right now for it. Last thing I'm grateful for, and then I'll let you share. I am so grateful for Cody Brin. He hates this. Yes. I'm so grateful for him. We are co-pastors. I know, he hates it. But I really feel like I need to share it. We are co-pastors in ministry, so we co-lead together. I want you to know that this dynamic is not heard of. Really, it's not. And it's so neat, the way that we get to inform ministry on higher levels in our denomination because of this partnership. And I'll tell you what, it takes a solid, secure man to lead with a woman. And I'm so grateful for that, that he is not intimidated by that. Yes. I love you, Cody.
I love you, too.
Okay, that's it. Next, who would like to go? Right, just raise your hand. There we go. Barbara's also grateful for Cody. Everyone has to start with grateful for Cody. Yes.
I am so grateful. Is this working?
Yeah.
I am so grateful for having the Father in my life. Mm. I am so grateful for Ashley and Cody that brought him into my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful to my family that is here through Village Church.
Amen.
And I'm just grateful every day.
We're grateful for you.
And I love you guys.
Short. Just a short amount.
Keep it short, buddy.
This is my husband, so I can tell him that.
I'm going to get a stopwatch.
You can stopwatch all you want. I'll just talk if you turn the mic off. Just going off of what Ashley said, one of my favorite things about life that I've ever done was starting Village Church. Being a part of God really organically bringing a group of people together and starting a church, and that we didn't have to force anything. We didn't have to build a building with a cross on it and invite people in. It just happened because the Spirit of God was in that. And last night, seeing the Resurrection Life Church, their team has that same dynamic. It's like these people are just like, we feel led to be a part of this church. Mm-hmm. And it has just given me such a fresh renewal of, you know, it's been about 3 years since we got here and started the church, and I don't ever want to feel like we're doing church. Mm-hmm. You know, every Sunday is special, and every day is special. Every relationship that we've built is special. And I'm just so encouraged by the Res Life Church. And, you know, like Ashley said, we kind of had that, like, Gladden Farms is ready for a church, you know, and I wanted to go to Gladden Farms first. And, but we, you know, we were led here, and I'm just so renewed and refreshed by Village Church. Mm-hmm. Like, this church is my family. I have family all over the United States, and nobody really here. So you guys have become my family, and, I just got to praise God for you guys. The way that he's changed my heart to be mm-hmm. able to stand up here, I used to be so introverted, it was scary. My uncle would always be like, are you all right? Like, you don't talk. And now you can't get me to shut up. And for me to just have people in my community that's like, no, these are my family, I love these people. That is a huge, mm-hmm. God radically changed my heart. So I just have to praise him for that.
Awesome.
And
come on, who's grateful? We got one back there.
Good morning. My wife and I were grateful to find this wonderful church. We've been here about a month. We feel very welcome here. We love this place. We love everybody here. But another thing I'm grateful for is that every day is a new day with him.
Mm. Amen.
Even though I might be a screw up the night before, the day before, his forgiveness is forever.
Amen.
I can use that as a stepping stone in my life because I know that I'm not perfect. He is, and he molds me and shapes me in his form, and I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
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 Yeah, come Come on, guys. I'm a crier. Anyways, I'm thankful. My favorite time thing, I love worship time. Every time I'm at church and I'm singing those songs, I just feel like all the weight of the week is just flying off of me, just everywhere, just gone. I'm just like, I feel like a whole new person. I'm so grateful for worship time here. I love it. It just makes me feel like a whole new person when I walk out of here. I'm walking out of here even more bubbly than I normally am. And as everyone else says, I'm thankful for the church family. I belong to the Red Rock Community Church, and when it crumbled, it was like I was lost. I was like, I don't know where to go. The Village Church was here. I knew everyone. I loved them, but I wasn't feeling the pull right away. And then God said, just go, Shan. Just go and be with your family. And here I am, and I love it, and I love all of you guys.
We love you.
Amen.
Good morning. I have a lot I'm thankful for, but I have to narrow it down. So I was listening to Cody earlier, and he was talking about how during Thanksgiving, there's like this stereotype of, oh, I got to see my family, or, you know, maybe families you clash with, or, you know, something might happen. But I just wanted to say that this year's our first year hosting Thanksgiving at my house, and there's way more people than I was expecting showing up, and we're going to be cooking for 20 people. And I will say that it's Greg's family and my family, and we all get along beautifully. And his parents and my parents actually spend time together, and I'm actually really looking forward to spending time with all of these people. And that's what I'm thankful for. It's just my family. His family's in Phoenix, and we don't see each other a lot. And just having all this time to spend with our family and loving each other and just being perfect together. And then, of course, my extended family, which is all of you guys. I'm just so thankful for all of you.
I'll share. So nobody got to see them, but if you guys could stand one more time, like. So. I wouldn't be here without them. They were my youth leaders in North Dakota, and they believed in me then, and they gave me a shot, and they said they poured into, they pushed me, they forced me to be in leadership. I honestly, like, I didn't want any part of it. I didn't understand it, you know. I was just in junior high at the time, and they said, like, hey, you're a leader, and they kept pushing that, and then they moved, and I didn't see them for a long time, and then they invited me out to be part of their church that they planted in Sacramento. And then I was, I just went there. I was so green. I didn't really have, the only experience I had was really worship ministry. And so, like, I could lead worship, but, like, I didn't have any other experience. And these two gave me a platform. They gave me an opportunity to grow. And anyway, I'm just eternally grateful for that. Mm-hmm. That, yeah. So anyway, this is Brett and Linda, and what was so cool about them being part of, like Ashley said, that they just happened to be here this weekend, and happened to get to see the launch of their granddaughter church in a lot of ways last night at the worship night, that first outing, and so just such a cool thing to have them there and to have them be able to see this. Like, this is a large part because of your guys' belief in us and supporting us that first year, and so anyway, thank you so much to Brett and Linda here.
I am so thankful for next generation leaders. You know, in at my age, upper 50s, we worry about what's going to happen with the church. You know, we've been in ministry 35 years, and you're constantly thinking, you know, what's next? You know how it is. Old people, come on, next generation, they're messed up. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of a stereotype, right? But then I look at these guys, and I have an overwhelming gratefulness to God who is raising up next generation leaders who I can just know. I just know that I know that I know God is at work.
Yeah.
And we're in good hands. We're in good hands with these two. You're in good hands with these two. Mm-hmm. And it's just thank you, God, for that.
Thank you.
All right.
We got more time. Who's grateful?
Yeah.
Two. We got Shelley and Greg. Okay. Matt wants to go again, but we're not going to let him.
I'm grateful for God. You know, back in February, Megan and I decided to do a lifestyle change of diet and exercise. And what drove that for me was I started having dreams and visions that I think God was sharing with me of watching my kids playing at a park, but I'm looking down. And then I was having dreams of watching Macy getting married. And there was somebody, he was blurry. I couldn't see who he was walking her down the aisle.
Heck no.
And I was looking from the top down again. That was God saying, get my stuff in order, man. So I shared with Megan this, and she said, you know what, we're going to do it. And fast forward now, I've just passed 70 pounds.
Amen.
You know, glory to God for that, you know, because I've wanted to give up and go back to my old habits, you know, giving up all the vices I used to do. Mm. I still was a comfort eater.
Mm-hmm.
And getting stressed at work, getting stressed at home, I wanted to eat. I wanted to just gorge. And I kept being reminded of those visions. And all of a sudden, those snacks didn't matter. The food didn't matter.
Mm.
And I put a stake in the ground. Next year, I'm going to ride the 50-mile loop for El Tour.
Woo!
So I've started riding for that. I'm thankful for my neighbor. He's not a Christian, but he bought himself a new bike, and he gave me his old one to borrow indefinitely. And he says, this is so much better than yours. Train on this bike, and if you get another one, give this one back.
Oh my gosh, Greg.
So cool. There's so much going for that, and I have to give God glory for that, and I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
I'm grateful for my daughter going to youth group. Which led me here. And I'm grateful for Jesus always chasing me down.
Amen.
And making me right. And I'm thankful for Cody and Ashley and God in my life because I really needed it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Shelley. I want to say I'm grateful for our youth leaders. Many of them are serving on Sunday morning, and then they come back at 6 o'clock, and they set up youth, and they lead the students as well. And so these are the most dedicated leaders in our church. And so we're so incredibly grateful. And the revival that's happening because of the way God is moving in our youth group, the way it's sweeping through our community, is incredible. So I'm absolutely super grateful for you guys. Thank Amen. You.
Good morning. I'm also grateful for the youth group. Of my son has been going through a little bit of a rough time, and the youth group grabbed him back in, Amen. And I appreciate that.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Good morning. I'm really grateful that God is always working upstream.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's going to happen, and he brought you guys here. He gave me a love for this community that was never here before. He brought my husband and I closer together.
Mm-hmm.
Our family is now 2,000 miles away, but this community has just become a part of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad to be a part of it, and I thank God for that.
We're grateful for you. Anyone else?
Hi. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I've been here a year, and my big out is Walmart and the doctor. So we've been looking for a church for a while, and I used to be Catholic, but no. So we're so glad to find this church and find a place where we can go. I have my daughter with me and her little girl, and I'm raising my grandson who is autistic, and they're over there learning about God. And when they came out, I said, "Did you feel God?" And they said, "Yeah, Grandma." And they were so happy, and it filled my heart. And I'm thankful to find some place that we can finally fit in and feel at home. And thank these guys. They've touched my heart.
Amen.
They're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you. Ben.
Morning. I just want to say, as a youth leader, we are very grateful for all the youth kids here. We have all opened our hearts, and I know a lot of them know that my wife Kayla and I have opened our home as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're always welcome to come over, hang out. We didn't do it this week, but last Friday we did taco night. We plan on continuing to do that Friday nights for the youth kids and the community that want to come join us for dinner. But what I am thankful for is Cody and Ashley. I was saved about a year and a half ago. And if I walked into any other church, I wouldn't have the same reaction. Love you guys.
Love you, man. Brian. Oh, wait, we got Brian over there. You might as well save your feet.
I'm thankful for this community and this church. For about 15 years, I had been searching for a church that fit me. Every other church, I either liked just one piece of it and everything else just didn't seem right to me. And then moved out here to be closer to my family in Casa Grande. And like the day I signed the papers, my mom told me that they were moving back to Washington. So I was kind of stuck out here alone. I had just gotten over a long relationship that was going nowhere. I pretty much had given up on family and marriage and kids and figured it just wasn't for me. And then I got the little card in the mail and found out that many of the people that were coming here didn't even get them. So I came in, and everything about this church is everything that I've looked forward to. You know, I don't get why didn't you show up last Sunday. You know, they understand that life happens, and some people can't, you know, be off on Sundays. I work long hours, and sometimes I can't be here, but I've never felt unwelcome. And, you know, things lined up. I met my wife, who was also a Christian, and everything I thought that wouldn't happen, happened.
Two kids later, right?
I'm thankful that the post office gets things right sometimes. Yeah. I'm grateful. Grateful.
Hello. There's a lot of things I'm grateful for, but not many people know things that have been going on lately and over the past year. But I am grateful for prayer, because without Cody and Ashley over the summer, I don't know where it would have been. Because I'm pretty sure the only reason why it turned out the way that it did was because of prayer. And it wasn't just me, it was my friends, it was family, it was you guys that made it happen. and saved somebody who meant the world to me.
Yeah.
So through loss, there is gain, and it's hard to understand that sometimes. And prayer gets you through everything.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for it. And God answers things in his own way.
Amen.
May not be the way you want him to answer it, but he answers.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I'm been listening to what everybody else is grateful for, and so I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm really grateful for the welcome that we've gotten from this church when we came. Really the love, you know, that you guys all showed us when we first started coming. And I'm grateful for that. We've had that, and you know, since we've been in Arizona, we were lucky enough to. We had somebody move out here, and then they're gone now. So, so if it wasn't for our churches that we went to, we really wouldn't. Have learned about outreach and praising and worshiping and how easy it is just to show God's love, because we've been shown God's love over and over and over and over and over again. I'm very grateful to be living up here where we are. God took over us last year and you know, things bam, 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 bam started happening, and we found our house up here, and it was like magical, really. I was thinking, oh, Lord, thank you so much, because he blessed us so much this last year, and I'm grateful for my wonderful husband who always is crazy and and full of love, and he's just wonderful. And we're so happy to be here. We're happy to be in a church like we're used to going to. You know, with just it's just a big family. It's just a big family of people loving on each other and having a great time in God's love, and living in God's love and. It's just wonderful. Wait till you guys meet my grandkids. I can't wait.
I really believe that gratitude ushers in the presence of God. I don't know if you just feel him here, but even though we're not singing, I just sense this worship just rising up. You know, in the Revelation, it talks about how the prayers, those praises go up, and it's like incense. It's pleasing to God. And so I even sense that he's just smiling down over us right now. So incredibly amazed at the way that God has worked today, but also in your lives. And, you know, as each one of you is sharing, I just was recalling some of your story that I know and just amazed, really amazed. You know, Greg, that is just one of those amazing testimonies I've heard his whole life. And then what he shared today, it's just incredible what God is doing and what he's done. We're going to go into worship. I'm going to invite the worship team forward, and we are going to say thank you. We're going to say thank you together to the Lord. And I want to challenge you with a few things this morning. We talked about the heart to the head to the mouth transition. And isn't it easier when some, you know, you were like kind of wondering like, okay, what am I grateful for? And then as people start talking, it's like coming up. It's like, oh, wait, I'm grateful for this and that. And then the list could go on. We could stay here all day and go around the room and just keep it going for all the things that God has done. So I want to ask you today, how's your thought life? How's your thought life? Because when we can get that down and take captive those thoughts through Jesus Christ, we can experience transformation in the circumstances around us. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and I'm going to just ask you a few questions. If you just want to respond to one of these today and say, you know, that's for me, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as I ask them. Number one, have you invited Christ to change your life by changing your heart? Have you invited him to change your life by changing your heart? If that's your prayer this morning, would you just raise your hand? If you're thinking, you know what, I need a heart change. My thought life has been struggling. I need a heart change. Jesus, come into my life. Change it. Praise God. If you're hearing that, you know what, I've given my heart to Jesus, but I need to be exercising the power of the Holy Spirit to see my mind renewed. If that's you, if you're saying, you know what, I'm going to take captive those thoughts. That was a word for me today, that I need to be more intentional about my thought life. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. Praise God. And then we talked about what words are coming out of your mouth, which is a challenge to us this morning. And if you're realizing, you know what, the overflow of the mouth is what the heart is speaking. And so if that's you this morning, you're saying, you know what, I need to get that area of my life in check. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. We're going to go into this time, and this is the perfect response, worship, where we say, Jesus, come, take over my heart. Come, renew my mind, empower me to take over, take those thoughts captive, those anxious thoughts, those negative thoughts, those hopeless thoughts. Those are lies that do not belong inside of the Christian's mind. And so we're going to ask him, we're going to praise him today. Ask him to do that, and then we're going to ask him to transform our tongue as well, because it has power. And just as it has power when it speaks evil, there is incredibly more power when we speak praise. And so we're going to speak, we're going to sing, we're going to use our mouths today to worship God. Father, we thank you that there is no other story like this in all of creation, all of the world, no other religion, no other anything, God, that Jesus is the only one, the Savior of our souls. God, thank you that we have found, that you have found us, God, that you've called us your children, not by anything we've done, God, because we can't do it, but by your grace, you look at us, you say, I've chosen you, my people, and that we get to have a relationship with you, that we get to come into this place and even just recall all the good things you've done. God, you are amazing. You're amazing. We're so, so incredibly blessed. Those of us that have given our hearts and our lives to you, God, not one of us regrets it. Not one of us. And God, I pray, Lord, this morning for those struggling in their thought life with anxiety, depression, hopelessness, all those things, lies from the pit of hell. God, we break the chains in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we say, we start a new season with you today. God, replace our thoughts. Replace them. Empower us, God, today. And Lord, would you help us with our mouths? Father, I pray that what comes out of our mouths would be glorifying to you. And God, what comes out of our mouths, Father, would be something that you use to transform us personally, transform our family relationships, our friendships, and God, the zip codes that you've put on our hearts because of what we speak through your Holy Spirit. God, we love you. We ask this anointing to see these things come to fruition. And God, we say collectively together, thank you. I'm just going to invite you to say thank you out loud with me. Ready? Thank you, God, for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.